You are now listening to FMB Radio.
And welcome to FMB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins and I am your host. We are taking a quick break from Corona Phone a Friend because I want to just, I don't know about you guys, but I needed to limit the amount of time I was spending reading about it, thinking about it, hearing about it. It's impossible to do because I'm constantly in that like ever-changing loop of like, everything's fine. Everything's totally not fine. We're all going to die. And that sort of back and forth that can change on a dime gets really exhausting emotionally. It's making me feel fried. And I had to sort of take a break from that. So we're going to do things a little more lighthearted and still relative to what's going on because people have to eat. Things have changed so much. Restaurants are officially closed. Quite literally millions of people in restaurants have been laid off across the nation, even more all over the world. So that's really intense. A lot of places are still doing takeout and I recommend that you support that in any way you can. If you have the resources to do so, I know that can be another sensitive topic, especially for people who are in a tougher spot financially. It's like, of course I want to support my friends, but, it's my resources are also finite at this point. So here's what I've been doing. I treat myself to sort of one special out thing, like takeout thing that I can grab, during the week. And then the rest of the time, I didn't know what I would feel like cooking necessarily. So I really stocked up, not in a doomsday prepper way. And when I say that, I mean, don't buy multiples of things. When you do that, unless you know exactly what they're for and you have a recipe planned out, there's no sense in buying 9 blocks of cream cheese because someone else might need cream cheese. So I recommend just like getting your stores back up to par, like all of your dry goods, you know, replenishing any spices that you're out of. Me personally, I was out of bay leaf, which almost never happens, but, so I kind of re-upped on dry spices. I got some of the plantable herbs because that's going to be a thing that you can just keep using. Plus it's springtime. So it's really nice to have those and they make your cooking instantly more delicious. And if you plant them, then, you know, it's renewable. It's not like you have to keep going out and buying the small packs of chives or whatever it is that I go through every single day. Always lots of citrus just for the vitamin C factor and also for seasoning food. I re-upped on vinegars and olive oils that I might need. I did get meat, but I didn't get a ton of meat because people had bought it all. Everybody was freaking out and was like, you know what? I better get some meat. So meat was in short supply, but a lot of my things that I ended up making this week were pseudo plant-based, like kind of plant-based or had very little meat in them. And it was kind of a pleasant surprise, although there's tons of cheese, lots of cheese. Cheese has been a constant theme in the foods that are making me feel good right now. And I know that's not for everyone, but if it is for you, boy, oh boy, does it feel good. Cheese, butter, it's making me feel good. And I just got lots of different vegetables. We get a CSA from Community Grocery that I'm obsessed with. So we've got things coming in and we're kind of just evaluating what's in the fridge each day, what's going to go soon in terms of expiring or wilting. And we're cooking that way. Also with a touch of what's going to make me the most happy right now. And I mean, I'm literally digging deep into the emotional stores of what's going to make me happy. I don't know if you saw the story, but I made French onion soup. And the whole thought process is behind that, that when Jeremy and I first got together, I was about to go out to California to work at the French Laundry and Bouchon. And at Bouchon, one of the most iconic dishes that they serve is French onion soup. It's like, I mean, you don't get any more French than French onion soup. It's the Frenchiest French thing you can do. It also takes a ton of time. I'm talking about a ridiculous amount of time. Like you're like, oh, soup. I'll just throw a soup together. That'll be cute. No, it's not cute. It's very labor intensive. And if you do it the way that the cookbook says to do it, you're going to make your own stock, which also takes literally days. But guess what I have? A lot of time. I have time to perfectly julienne 9 pounds of onions. I have time to roast bones and make stock. I have time to make croutons and hell, I could make the bread from scratch. I don't, but Jeremy does. So I picked something that was felt very special to me, because when I was moving out there before I left, and when Jeremy and I were sort of just starting to date, I was trying to get ready to go and work at Bouchon, where I was going to be a commis, and then at the French Laundry, where I was going to be helping run food. And I just wanted to just practice and just do something fun out of the cookbook. And we made it together, and it made so much, and we were like so involved together for those days that we were making it, that it's a really, really sweet memory to me. And I think I've said this before, but the way a lot of people have a frozen, like, top tier of their wedding cake in their freezer, Jeremy and I had for a long time a quart of that original French onion soup that just stayed in the freezer, that was so sweet and so special and so comforting to me. So I hadn't made it in a long, long time. I usually make it about once a year, because it is, I'm not joking, it's a pain in the ass, but a lovely pain in the ass. And so I was like, that sounds good. And it sounds like something I want to eat right now. So we made that, and it really did the trick. There's something so amazing about spending a ton of time with someone making something, or either preparing it for someone else or just for yourself. Because it takes so much of your energy that the more careful you are with it, the better it tastes. I truly believe that. And this was incredible. It was the best one I've ever made. And we put the kids to bed, and we, you know, set up all this French onion soup. We put the croutons on top and broiled it and lit a candle and opened a bottle of champagne. And we sat at the table and turned off all the rest of the lights in the house. Like, I didn't want to look at the messy kitchen. I didn't want to look at the toys on the floor in the living room. I just sat in the dining room with candles. And it felt silly at first, but I have to tell you, we had a conversation about the kind of meals that I want to have. And at first it felt a little bit like role play, and then we really got into it, and not to get too kinky on you. But I think about dinner from the time that I was growing up, like, dinner is a thing, right? It's not necessarily an action in most people's lives, especially in American lives. Dinner is just something, it's another meal. It's a like pass-through stepping stone to get to the next part of your day, whether that's relaxing, finishing work up, putting the kids to bed, doing something creative. Dinner is sort of that thing that you have to do, and then you can do something. Lunch definitely feels that way because it's kind of a midday fueling, and breakfast is certainly that way because it's typically, unless it's a weekend, you're eating to power yourself for the workday or your time at home or whatever you do. But dinner, in the way that I've always imagined it, and the way that I want to have it, and the way that I feel like would be, oh, just the most romantic way to have it, not even necessarily in like a relationship type of setting. I just mean when I think about a timeless meal. There are these things that you sit down to, and it's just, you don't want to get up. Like, you might be at the table for hours. You might be just, the food might just either be still a part of it, or it might just be sitting there, empty plates, as you continue to pour the wine and have a conversation, and a real conversation, not just a, okay, what do you got tomorrow? Cool. What time is that? Sounds good. How did this thing go? Good? Oh, good. Yeah, I mean, you get that kind of topical conversation that really is more of like a, feels like a test that you have to pass in some way, like, for lack of a better word, like someone's interrogating you instead of talking to you. Someone is, you know, checking in on what the plan is, or someone is regrouping on what the next move is. And rarely, maybe never, even at restaurants, it's hard to have a meal where it's just, dinner is a verb. It's a thing that you do. It's a feeling that it's an experience that you get. And I don't mean like in a, wow, what an experience that was. I mean like a, one of those conversations that goes down a rabbit hole that you don't know where it ends, and you can't remember how you started talking about this. And I've always thought, like, somewhere in countryside of France, that's how people eat. Maybe they do. In my fairy tale mind, that's how they eat. And I hope that one day I go there and they can show me how to do that. But I have these imaginary dinner parties in my mind that are just interesting people, quirky, weird people that I love, sitting around a table, sharing food, and talking in a way that is beyond the check-in or the regroup or the what's the plan interrogation. And in today's society, it's so hard to do that. But then one good thing that's happened out of the coronavirus is we sat down to this meal of, I made a salad and French onion soup. And it was Jeremy's idea to open the champagne. I didn't even think, this is how dumb I am sometimes and how much I rush through things. I wasn't even thinking about like, oh, we've got a really nice meal in front of us. We should put some wine with it. I always have wine in the house. People buy us wine, or I'll pick out wine, or I get wine for Christmas. Like, we just have tons of wine and cool wine. And I had a bottle cold in the fridge. So he opened that and we sat down. And at first I was like, I physically presented the idea outright. I was just like, man, remember, don't you always wish you could have like a better dinner? Like when you have some meal like this, you want to actually sit down and have a conversation that means something. And dinner isn't just a thing that you're getting through. And he immediately echoed that idea and was like, yes, that's, God, that would be so wild. And it almost, we had to like kind of agree to the game, which was we were going to have one of these dinners where we weren't worried about time or cleaning the kitchen or what the next thing was or what we were going to watch on Netflix or who was texting us or what the virus was doing or any of that. And we did have a few 15 minutes where it was like, I was sort of almost grabbing my phone and then I removed my phone completely. And then we sat there and with each bite, just like firstly focusing on the food, because that's one of the easiest things to do. And then focusing on whoever you're sharing their meal with. Or if you're not sharing a meal with anybody, you can do this still. You can think about things that aren't superficial and topical. You can get into something like, ask yourself, what do you need? Or what have you been going through? Or what is something that you've always wanted? Because that's ended up being where the conversation went, was we started talking about travel. And if you get through that, what do sophisticated people do when they eat role play feeling? Once you do that for about 10 minutes, we really did shift into an actual conversation pattern that was just like, where have you always wanted to go? Where would you go first if you could go anywhere? And talking about ideas and not people, and talking about desires and not in a way that was about like what we don't have. We started looking around the house and commenting on how much we love the dining room table. Jeremy built our dining room table, but it could be anything. It was something small, you know, just the light in the house, how candlelight makes you feel, what a person has been feeling like checking in. And it, after the awkward 15 minute part where you're like, this is silly, I feel dumb, like trying to be so sophisticated and like drink champagne. And I let myself have a second glass, even though I was about to just like cut it off and put the stopper in it and start the dishes. We just kind of relaxed back into our chairs and watched the candle go down as you talk. And as you engage with someone in a real deep level that hasn't happened for me, maybe ever in my life, I'm not trying to be extreme, but even going to restaurants when I have a great experience, there's a lot of interruptions. There's a lot of interruptions because in America, especially in with food culture the way it is now, or the way it was before all the restaurants closed, there is a huge focus on the experience. I want to create this experience for people. But in my experience as a server, that relies heavily on me. A lot of that is me making sure I know the menu and spieling, and somehow I insert myself into the meal and it becomes like this communal thing that me and the diners have together instead of the diners have together. So even when I go out to restaurants, especially if I know the people in the restaurants, it's very hard for me to have a full-on connected experience with the people or person that I'm eating with, or myself if I'm eating alone. So this was crazy and beautiful and something that I haven't done. And I was like, light a fucking candle every night. Turn off your lights every night. Put away your phone every single night. And if there's any beautiful thing that can come out of the fear and the anxiety and the insanity that is the coronavirus and what it's doing and how it's just ripping everyone's lives apart and changing whatever is normal, there was some good things. I've been cooking the food that I want to eat instead of what I think I should eat or what feels like it's seasonal or it's healthy or anything like that, I've completely put all those feelings aside and I just literally say, what do I want? What sounds good? And last night that was stuffed shells. I'm just going for pure comfort, straight up comfort, nothing else, only comfort. Because I just feel like it's the thing that I can do for myself and my family right now. And it feels really good. I made brown butter chocolate chip cookies. I'm doing recipes, that I haven't ever tried before. I'm also going back to favorites that I've hit again and again. And I'm just making sure that every meal is like celebratory. And I don't mean that in like a fancy way. It doesn't have to be expensive. I just mean, take the time, toast the English muffin and salt it and butter it and make every single piece of the food that you're putting into your mouth. Pay attention to it. Don't slap anything together and shove it and cram it in your mouth. It's just, A, you'll panic eat and you'll be doing that unnecessarily and it won't help you feel better. Take the time, cut the chives right, cut the onions right. Adam Rothstein texted me, I love you. I want you to come on the show. I'm going to call him soon for Corona Phone a Friend. But he called me or texted me a picture of all these micro brinoised onions that he was cutting. And I think a lot of displaced food and beverage people are turning to projects like that require discipline and attention to detail to help them cope, because so much of that energy that they place into their professional lives has been taken away. So cook what you want. I thought about my kids waking up and being like, how excited would they be if they woke up and there was a cookie the size of their face on the kitchen counter? Cause they get up before we do. And Julian came in there and was like, Mom, you made chocolate chip cookies. Can I eat one? And normally I would be like, no, eat your breakfast. And I was like, yes. Like what? Like, are you Santa? Hell yes. Go ahead. Eat the cookie for breakfast. I don't care what happens after that, because it's just about making people feel good. And if you can't do that for others, you know, outside of your community right now, you can do that for yourself and your family, or yourself and your whoever that you live with, or yourself and your puppy. I've been making Ada, I gave her a sardine for the first time. I don't know why I've never thought to give them to her, just because I usually eat them. But I was like, you want to try one of these? She lost her mind, our dog. So treat people, treat them well, treat yourself well. If I'm making snacks, my go-to is to make some big involved savory project every single day that I can kind of graze on throughout the day or late into the night, which is my favorite thing to do. So some sort of pasta, soup, something that's like, it can age well. And then I'm also, just to keep things light, because I am eating so much melted cheese, I'm always throwing some kind of greens and just a really olive oil, lemon, salt. Keep it simple, keep it bright, eat lots of raw stuff during the day, give yourself lots of snacks. And above all, I've been riding my bike like a psycho. Like, you'll see me like the Wicked Witch of the West going through my neighborhood. Like just moving. Walking the dog so many times a day, because for right now, it's still safe to be out in nature. And that is one beautiful thing that we have going for us. So make sure you're taking advantage of that. Don't get into that slump where you're just sitting on the couch, like refreshing your phone. It is a dangerous and ugly place to be. And also if you're upping your intake on comfort foods, you don't want to put yourself in an energy that's really low where you don't feel like moving around. So make sure that you're combating any sort of treats and comfort that you're giving yourself with movement. It doesn't have to be intense. You don't have to ride your bike like a crazy person, but just, you know, getting on the floor, playing with your dog, playing with your kids, going for a walk, making sure that you're breathing fresh air. But yeah, keep up with that. I'm going to post some of the stuff. Usually I post what I cook on my personal, and I don't let a lot of people follow my personal account, because if you've ever like tried to follow my personal account and it doesn't happen, it's because I have pictures of my kids on there. So I'm really funny about how many people I let follow my personal account, but I will start posting the snacks that I'm making daily on F&B Radio, so you can follow along and share what you're cooking with me, because it really does. I get so many ideas from doing the scroll and seeing what people are making, and just trying to make something delicious for yourself, because it's hard. It's so hard. And my one tip, and if you're a person that likes to cook, Don't cook all your snacks up front, dude. This is hard. This is hard. Cook what's going to go bad. Because I get into this, like, I see the whole matrix of everything that I could make. And I'm like, ooh, Dan Dan noodles. And then Jeremy's like, you would have to thaw out ground pork and use shelf-stable ingredients to make this. He's so efficient, this one. And he was like, when we've got fresh stuff right here that's going to go bad, like the spinach, if we don't cook it and put it into pasta. So cook in order. Don't use your frozen stuff until the end. Don't panic and overshop. Don't buy multiples. Just buy what you need. I promise there will be more food, at least for now, until they tell me otherwise. And send me what you're cooking. I love you guys. I miss you. I hope this is helpful in some way. And yeah, take a deep breath and eat some melted cheese. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. Je laisserai un mot sur le frigo. On déciderait de se faire la malle. Ta famille, les amis, le bureau.